And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now, 25 minutes to the hour. At this time on a Monday, we join Liam Horan for Career Corner. Good evening to you, Liam.
Good evening, Eden.
And welcome indeed. Now, topic for discussion this evening by email. I run a small shop, but alas, it's fading. I'll have to close it very soon before it eats into my savings. I'm at a stage in my life, both age-wise and in terms of personal priorities, where I'm not pushed about finding my dream career. Really, I just want a job to pay the bills so I can indulge my hobbies. I'm prepared to do some training, but would need to know the prospects. How do I find out which sectors might prove worthwhile?
Actually, it's an interesting question because we often deal with people who are looking to achieve some dream career or get some job they really wanted to get for quite a while. And this person has outlined, you know, where they're at, which is basically they might have done their big career thing and they just want to get a job and get by. And that's a very interesting question on that basis because maybe that kind of information is overlooked sometimes. A good place for that person to start would be on the Fullis Labour Information web link, Labour Market Information web link, and that's lmi.force.ie. That's kept up to date. And the beauty of that piece of web information is that, say you're thinking about becoming a painter or a decorator, for example, the click-through for every occupation reveals some very interesting information. In summary, some of the information there is, for example, if we take painter and decorator, the unemployment rate is above average in that group right now. No skills shortages have been identified, but growth prospects for employment are actually above average. So depending on where exactly or when exactly this person wants to get into the labour market again, right now perhaps not, but maybe in a year's time there might be a bit more going on. That's just kind of a general view of where, you know, they're asking what sector might prove worthwhile. So, and in the case of every occupation as well, there's a very useful supplementary comment alongside. I'll just give you a few bits from what are there in the painter and decorator one, for example. Strong anticipated growth in construction activity over the medium term, so not short term, medium term, will create demand for construction craft skills. Construction opportunities will arise initially due to construction facilities to accommodate expansion in the biopharma and ICT sectors. And the biopharma sector is one that does influence the west of Ireland, for example, and the ICT sector as well. And they go on to say other things as well about what's available in painting and decorating, what you need to look forward to. And a lot of information is drawn from the National Skills Bulletin 2014, so it's not just, you know, putting a finger in the wind, so to speak. It's actually, it has some research and some science to back it up. So I suppose if painting and decorating is what you're looking at and you want something right now, it doesn't look like being the most attractive one, but it could be very, very soon. And there are other, you know, you can look at other careers as well. I looked at care workers and home carers, for example, in preparation for this. It tells us there the employment rate is below average, but skills shortages have been identified, so growth prospects are above average for employment. And there's difficulty in finding, in attracting and retaining qualified care and child care workers. And that with an ageing population, in fact, by 2046, the population aged 65 and over could be as much as 28% of our total population. The likelihood of growth in that area is quite strong, and there are already some skills shortages there. So there'd be things that somebody looking around and trying to get something could look at. And the training, for example, for care workers and home carers is not all that long, so it's not like you have to go to college for 4 years to set yourself up for that career. So that, you know, that's the really useful web link, lmi.force.ie, and LMI stands for Labour Market Information. Lots of very useful information on there for all sorts of people researching possible careers, for people looking at setting up businesses, what sort of labour shortages are there, in case you'd end up having a great idea and no one to do it for you. So that's a good place to go for that person there.
And I suppose, in any event, Liam, a person, the type of person who sent in, who's in the position of the person who sent in this particular email, it really depends on where you stand in your life, your age, your personal circumstances, domestic situation, what you want to do with your life. You know, many people, even Leo Varadkar was saying it yesterday, he doesn't want to be in politics for all of his life. There are other things he wants to do. And this particular individual may have reached that stage in his life where he or she has decided, well, you know, I don't want to be working really, really hard for the rest of my life. I want to engage in my hobbies. And yes, it's a very personal, subjective situation for anyone to be in.
It is, and you'd have to say that it's a very mature situation as well. I don't mean that in just in terms of age, but in fact that somebody's self-awareness has allowed them to say, well, this is exactly what I want. I want to just do something that's going to pay the bills kind of thing, so I can have time for other things. And, you know, I suppose, as I was saying at the outset, we perhaps don't get as many queries like that in this slot because it tends to be more people climbing the ladder. But this person is happy to, you know, just find somebody to coast along. And there's a lot to be said for that as well. Career progress can often come at a price as well for people. So it sounds like they're very happy to do what they're planning to do here. And I hope that that web link will help them to get some idea where it might, you know, where they might focus their efforts. Other factors, a big factor, of course, is location. And before you go into any decision about careers, always good to ask people in the area you're hoping to be working in. I mean, the geographical, in your local geographical area, what the local opportunities are like as well. But the Solus Labour Market Information web link is a very useful starting point.
Now, on another topic, I suppose it's in relation to interviews, and we get regularly, we receive inquiries about job interviews. Can you ask Liam, is it a marathon or is it a sprint?
We generalise, but it's a marathon. It's not.
Now, what do you mean by that?
By that I mean that people sometimes try and answer everything in the first question. They try and boil the ocean, as the saying goes, and they rush and rush and rush and rush and rush, and the interview becomes very lopsided where they've been asked one question and they talk for as long as 10 minutes. The problem with that is you're talking well beyond what's natural for most people to talk without you know, engaging from the other side of the table. But also, you're probably answering or half-answering or quarter-answering questions that are going to come a little bit later on.
And it may also portray nervousness, which may not do you any good.
Yeah, and you know, if you're nervous, the way to get into it is to start fairly handy and settle into it, and, you know, get your second wind, so to speak. But I think there's a point in an answer beyond which, if you talk, you're likely to be waffling and likely to do some damage to yourself because you could go somewhere that you didn't really mean to go. So I would say with most candidates, well, I do encourage them to talk. You know, get used to keeping your answers about 2.5-3 minutes. That's about the right one, I feel, from working with lots of candidates in this way. It's enough for the interviewer to digest. If you throw any more at them, they find it very hard to digest it all in one go. So a little bit over and back, over and back. Let the interviewer then decide where he or she wants to bring it next, so you can go there with them and you know, slot in the examples you have that suit there. You've got to put the interviewer at ease and give them a confidence that when you've started your answer, you will also finish your answer and that you're not going to keep jawing on endlessly. And that's very important as well. So take your time. Generally in an interview, there's as many as 15 questions, perhaps more. You know, so there will be time. There will be time. Don't try and force it all early on. And, you know, if you feel you're somebody who talks too much, get yourself in the habit of shorter answers and focusing your answers. You know, it's kind of like if you find yourself saying, and of course, on top of that, or allied to that, too often, you're bringing the interviewer too far. It's like hitching too many wagons to your train. Eventually, it can't keep going. So make it easy for the interviewer to know what you're saying and know when to stop at the right time so that they can then ask the next question and then you can give them more information and they can take it on board in a more bit-by-bit way.
Can I just read to you a text that has come in, Liam, from an employer, actually. As an employer with a lot of experience of sitting on interview boards, any candidate who goes off in a tangent suggests to me that they're not focused and I'm not interested in employing people who aren't.
Yeah, I think it's a... I'd say that's quite true in many cases because, you know, communication is so important. And if somebody... we all know the feeling, and perhaps we've been guilty of generating this feeling for others as well, of talking to somebody and just feeling yourself glazing over. You've said too much, I can't take any more, I can't follow you, I'm actually not interested enough. And if that happens in an interview, just as if it happens on a bus or in the pub, it's not a good thing. So you need to focus what you're saying so that the person at the other end of the table only has to take so much on board. And as your employer there said, you know, showing focus. If you show you ramble, It could be true of lots of parts of your work as well. So I think it's really important to know where I'm starting, where I'm finishing, and then stay silent and let the interview panel ask the next question, and away you go again.
Because that text, actually, Liam, from that employer, it just goes to show you how much can be picked up by an employer, particularly an experienced employer who has sat on several interview boards, from the manner in which replies can be given that you mightn't think of at all.
Absolutely. Employers, when they're in the zone of employing somebody, are highly alert. For example, I know employers who read every email over and back very, very closely. If there's four or five emails shuffling over and back about setting up the time, stuff like that, they watch everything. They pick up signs in all sorts of places. So you need to be on your guard all the time. And waffling communication can be something that will really put them off. It has to be a general rule. If you bore them to death during the interview, they're unlikely to bring you in to brighten up, so to speak, their Monday mornings thereafter. So keep it sharp, you know.
Well, it's very interesting, actually. To interviewer or that listener probably has opened up so much in terms of what the employer is thinking. You know, may have learned as much from that as anybody could learn.
Absolutely, yeah. Employers, as I said, spot everything. It's like when you're trying to buy a car, you see every car on the road differently. When you're trying to hire somebody, you're watching everything. And the more experienced the employer or the recruiter, and I think I may have told you this story before, sitting in an interview panel with a very experienced recruiter, and it was like unpicking a lock, the way she unpicked a story that the candidate was trying to tell differently. She smelled the rat and she got it. So, you know, and there's a danger if you talk too much, you will leave those things unlocked as well. So have a fair idea what you're going to say and go in and say it, and don't be loose and don't be going on for too long, and don't be having that kind of rambling conversation that can only really bring you to troublesome areas.
Very good. We shall leave it there. Liam Horan, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening, and we'll talk to you again in or about 5:30 next week.
Thank you very much.
Very good evening to you. That's Liam Horan from our Career Corners and from Sliabh na Nua Careers.